Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Welcome, friends. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You are listening to Connecting Faith. We're here to reconnect the eternal with the everyday and to make those connections between the headline news and the mind of Christ that will equip us to enter into the conversations of the day with grace and truth. We have an exciting show today. We also have a really great lineup next week, so I would encourage you to check out the Connecting Faith page on the My Faith Radio website, and that'll keep you up to date on where we've been and where we're going. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Carmen LaBerge. You can read my blogs and other ministry information at reconnectwithcarmen.com. All right, friends. If you don't already have a copy of my book, Speak the Truth, How to Get God Back into Every Conversation, you can actually get it at Amazon today at 34% off the list price. So that's kind of exciting. That's a pretty great deal. So if you don't have a copy, you could go to Amazon and grab one. It's called Speak the Truth. It's by me, Carmen LaBerge. There you go. All right. So how do we bring the mind of Christ to bear on the headlines of the day? I don't know about you, but if you have been paying attention to the headlines, if you have been reading or watching the Washington Post, the USA Today, the Fort Worth Telegram, the CBS News, NPR, New York Magazine, the Baptist Press, the Christian Post, on and on and on, Christianity Today, then you are aware of the headlines related to the Southern Baptist Convention. On social media, it is burning up Twitter and Facebook conversations. And so it's a conversation that we have to be prepared to have. It's one that we need to be very clear about when we engage in it. It is not one where frankly we can mess around or have mushy opinions. And so what we're talking about is what some are referring to as the Me Too moment in the Southern Baptist Convention. So let's talk about what we need to know about this story, and let's talk about how we are going to enter into this particular conversation of our day as authentic representatives of Jesus Christ, recognizing the dignity of every person and also recognizing that repentance and redemption are possible and, in this case, certainly needed. This is a story about a pastor named Paige Patterson. He happens to also be the president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is a conversation about domestic violence. This is a conversation about marriage and divorce. This is a conversation about resignation or repentance. This is a conversation about Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. This is a conversation about what it means to submit to Christ in all things. This is a conversation about apology. This is a conversation about what's next. And this is, I think, a conversation about the relationships of men and women and our understanding of who we are as equally created as image bearers, also understanding that God has ordered human life and that we live under his sovereignty. This is a conversation in which we must be very clear at the very outset: abuse is always wrong in every setting, under every circumstance. Abuse is never Christian. If we're going to have a conversation about abuse, this is going to be a really short conversation. It is always wrong in every context, under any circumstance. And so when we're talking about God's ordering of human life, and when we're talking about the household rules in Colossians chapter 3 and in Ephesians chapter 5, we are talking about people who live in mutual submission to Jesus Christ, and we are talking about the kind of love that is self-sacrificial. We are not talking about forced submission. We are not talking about abuse. We are not talking about in any way justifying or sanctifying, for God's sake, abuse of any kind. And so let's be perfectly clear. And so if you are a person in any kind of abusive relationship on either side of the abuse, today's the day to get some help. If you are a person who is being abused, it's time to get out of the situation you are in. And I think part of the challenge of this whole story is I would love to be able to say you can turn to your church. You can go to your church and you will get help from your pastor. unfortunately, where we have arrived is at the point where I cannot say that in all confidence. And so I want you, if you are a person experiencing abuse, to get out of that situation and to get help. And I want to be able to send you to the church to get that help. But part of this story is about the reality that a lot of women, when they turn to the church for help, what they get instead is a misrepresentation of what the Bible says about submission and about marriage, and they are sent back into abusive relationships where they are then further abused and hurt. So that's what this conversation is about today. I have actually what I wrote about this is posted not only at reconnectwithcarmen.com, it's also now the lead article on the Christian Post if you want to read further what I have to say about this. Here's what I have time to say about it here and now. I live in a submitted marriage, right? I believe in God's design for human life. But when I say that, we need to recognize that biblical submission happens in the context of two people who are fully given over to God's sovereignty in their lives, to God's governance in their marriage and in their household. And so the only way we can have a conversation about biblical submission is if we know we're actually having a conversation wherein there are Christians living together in the covenant of a mutually submitted marriage. In any other context, a conversation about submission in marriage is just ridiculous and utterly silly in the culture in which we now live. And so when I'm asked, do these scriptures, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 in particular, are they still relevant in 21st century America in this 2018 Me Too moment in the church? My answer is yes, but we have to have really deep and significant conversations about where we have arrived, not only as individuals, but as a culture that has allowed the kind of misrepresentation that we're talking about, the kind of casual references that are degrading to women, that sexualize young women, that suggest that women are somehow less than men in God's family, in God's kingdom, and in God's service. None of that could be further from the biblical truth, and yet it is the reality often in the life of the church. And so let me just make these three points really clearly. Abuse is always wrong. Abuse in all forms is always contrary to the character and the witness of God. All abuse, domestic, spousal, physical, verbal abuse, which objectifies another person or robs them of their dignity as a fellow image bearer of God. And yes, the abuse of positional power. And that brings us to the conversation about not only a pastor, but a seminary president. Abuse of any kind has no place among God's household. It certainly has no place among the leadership of God's household, who bear a particular obligation for the people whom God has entrusted into their care and shepherding. There is really no room for debate on the question of abuse and domestic violence. And so we need to start by being clear about that. Biblical submission is an issue of authority. Neither submission nor authority are popular words in the culture today. And so when we talk about God's authority over all of life, including marriage, it's important for us as Christians to be people who actually get on the forefront of redeeming this conversation in the culture. We have to be people who are not afraid of what the Bible says about God's authority nor our submission to him. And we also have to be people who understand and live out marriage in such a way that we bear authentic witness to the reality of God's design for marriage, God's gift of marriage, God's governance of marriage, and God's redemptive purpose in marriage. So biblical submission is not all women to all men. Let's just be really clear about that. Biblical submission is not the submission of all women to all men, nor is biblical submission all children to all adults. Absolutely not. Biblical submission is also never forced submission. So part of the calling of Christians today, I believe, is to be people who actually redeem marriage. In order to do that, we're going to have to submit ourselves to God's authority and his revealed will, and we're going to have to better handle the Word of God than we've handled it in the past. I think this is a critical moment for the ministry and witness of the nation's largest Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. I think we should all be praying for this moment to be a moment of redemption and not a moment of fracture. And so as the headline news is going to continue to roil about this particular issue, because there's going to now be a meeting of the Board of Trustees of the seminary on May the 22nd, so you can be watching for information related to that. Paige Patterson has issued an apology, which I expect some people to respond to as insufficient. And we're going to have, I think, an ongoing conversation about not only this individual, but what he has said and what he has done and what others are doing in response to it. I think this is a critical moment for us as Christians to lean into, not run away from, the conversation, this particular conversation of our day. I think that there is a systemic problem that cannot be reduced to the sin of one individual. And I also don't think that removing one leader from one position is ultimately going to change the culture of an institution. And so when we talk about the heart change that is necessary, when we talk about the change that is necessary, even in the coarseness of our speak or the jesting that sometimes surrounds these conversations, I think that we're talking about revealing whether or not we are actually people possessed of the Spirit of the living God, filled with grace and truth, or whether or not we are still totally captives of an overly sexualized, pornified culture, because that's an issue here too. All right, friends, if you want more of that conversation and content, I've got a piece posted at reconnectwithcarmen.com. It's also been cross-posted today at the Christian Post. All right, friends, enough of that. Let's turn from that to a joyful conversation. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Randall Goodgame. I know that my grandbabies are now listening because he's the Slugs and Bugs guy. So if you've got kids or grandkids, chances are you know Slugs and Bugs. If you don't, then you're going to love this conversation where we talk about singing the Bible. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. I'll be right back. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and right there, you're listening to Slugs and Bugs. Joining me now is Randall Goodgame, the man behind singing the Bible, Slugs and Bugs. Randall, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much, Carmen. It is great to be with you.
So I'm going to start by just gushing for a minute, all right? So Tractor Tractor is an absolute family favorite in the LaBurge tribe. Matthew and Eliana are now 12 and 14. And when asked in the car on the way to school this morning, I said, Hey, I'm having Slugs and Bugs guys on today. Tractor, Tractor. And they just start singing Tractor, Tractor. And, you know, they're probably above your target age group, at this point. But man, that was knit into their little hearts and minds a long time ago. They still sing it with great joy and perfect recollection. And now, so I then turn to my, now grandbabies who are, 3 and 4 respectively, and ask the question, all right, so I'm talking to Slugs and Bugs guy, what's your favorite song on the new CD? So this question was posed to 4-year-old Evelyn, and she said, all of them! So you know that all of them is not a song on the CD, so there you go. Her mom says this when I ask. I said, all right, which one's really your favorite? And Becky said, well, she was singing I Am the Way, the Blueberry Life, on and on and on. And I said, I don't think I Am the Way, the Blueberry Life is a song on there. And she said, oh, no, she's now figured it out. It's I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So, Randall, tell us what Evelyn is singing off of the new CD.
The Blueberry Life. I love that so much. Well, you have to please tell Evelyn and Becky and the rest that I said hello. That is super exciting for me.
Trust me, they're listening right now on the Faith Radio app. I have no question about it.
Oh, awesome. Well, hey guys out there in Radio Land. The song that you're referring to, I guess, is the passage from John 14 where Jesus is talking to Thomas, and Thomas says, hey, where are you going? How come we know the way? And Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But that is, I'm glad she eventually figured it out, but the blueberry life, that will create a nice memory for them.
That's exactly right. Okay, so let's talk about this latest project. This is the latest of the series of CDs in the Slugs and Bugs collection. So why don't you tell us about this latest project?
Sure. Well, yeah, this is our fourth Sing the Bible CD. The Tractor Tractor, the song that you mentioned, was on some of our earlier records, which were a mix of gospel songs and silly songs. But these last four have all been word-for-word scripture. And this one, the theme is the life and words and work of Jesus. So like that song from John 14 that you mentioned is another one of those songs. And it's been a couple of years ago now because we made the record last year. But I was just in a season where I was focusing on the words Jesus spoke and the things that people were saying about him when he was alive, scriptures that were pointing to him and the things that he was about while he was here, while he was alive on earth, of course. So the whole record is scriptures that are things that he said about, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, or let the children come to me, or when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, all these things that, you know, obviously they're in English for us, but the spirit of which came out of his mouth in Aramaic way back when. So for me, it was important to have melodies for these songs, for these passages, to be able to help me memorize them. And then, of course, through the Sing the Bible series, my goal is to help parents and kids and families to memorize these passages together.
All right, friends, and you can actually find the CDs at slugsandbugs.com. That's slugsandbugs.com. I actually have two CDs to give away today. So you can either email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, or you can call us at the studio line, 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. And I'm going to guess those two CDs are going to go pretty fast. So Randall, these last four, the four most recent CDs are all scripture. I mean, obviously, Tractor Tractor, my family has wonderful ways of imagining that it is also scriptural. But but these are just scripture. And one of the things I ask some people to give me some input in today's conversation. So I want to share this one note with you on that particular subject of actually using the scripture references. So this listener says this: I like that he includes the scripture references in the songs themselves. As an adult, I have a terrible time remembering where things come from. So even though I know the verse by heart, I can't find it. I'm less likely to forget if it's a part of the song that I'm singing in my head as God is calling it to mind. So how does it feel to hear that kind of affirmation?
Oh, it's so good. I'm just nodding here in my house, nodding yes, because that is the same. I mean, I have the same problem. You know, we all have scriptures that I remembered from when I was a kid, but I would think, where is that? And, of course, before the days of Google, I would just thumb through. Is it Ephesians or is it Galatians? And so whenever I can, if it can fit in naturally and melodically, I do. I try to keep the fit the scripture reference in there. Just really for that reason, for kids to be able to reference it if they can remember the song, or, you know, parents too.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that kids and parent connection, because, you know, Slugs and Bugs, singing the Bible, it's not actually just for kids. Talk about what your vision is in terms of this being used by families.
Sure. Well, it's very important to me and sort of integral into the Slugs and Bugs ethos that as a parent, you know, my role is not to say, okay, kids, go get to know Jesus. It's to say, hey, Jesus is the way. He is what life is all about. He is what my life is all about. He is what life for all of us is all about. And since we're all in this together, how do we do it? Because we're going to bump into each other all the time. We're going to fail each other. We're going to make each other mad. But if our goal in life is to
reflect the love of Jesus to one another and into the world. We are together the cauldron in which we're kind of figuring out how to do that right in a way that glorifies the Lord. And then we go out into the world and we bump into other people and we want to let his light shine through us. So as a family, so I want the records, the music, to be just as fun and exciting and memorable and enjoyable for parents as I do for kids, so that they can become kind of like what Pixar movies are for our family. When you leave the theater and you're quoting them and you're remembering the jokes and you're remembering the beautiful moments, and it just kind of becomes part of the family culture. That's really what I want to have happen with these Slugs and Bugs Sing the Bible records, is that by the beauty of the melody and the fun little joyful moments that we pepper through, that families, that the truth, the heart of the truth of the scripture just soaks into their bones, so that when the Holy Spirit brings it to their mind, it's right there, ready for them.
Well, and you and I both know that that's sort of how song works, right? And so we're in a situation and we hear something, we see something, we experience something. God then brings the song to mind. We don't necessarily know immediately why he brought that song to mind. But as we allow that scripture to then roll through our mind in that song that brings us great joy and takes us back, hopefully, to conversations that we were then able to have with our kids about those things. I guess I just hope that part of what's happening here is that we're reinforcing what scripture says, and that it's relevant and that it's joyful, and that God is speaking into the culture of our family and speaking through us into the culture in which he sends us as ambassadors, even as little kids. And so I feel like that's a huge part of what you're doing.
Thank you. That really is central to it. I mean, there's nothing like the Word of God to help us get to know what his character is like. That's how we find out about him. And the more that we meditate and ruminate and are washed over by his Word, not only will his Word come to mind right when we need it, because we trust that he's here in our hearts and bringing his mind to us as we need it, but for our own benefit as we walk through the world and as we decide what to do in each given moment, but also as we are in community with other people, whether it is the Lord brings the word of encouragement through his word to someone else that just what they need to hear at that given time.
Mm-hmm.
As we're wrestling in prayer through something that we're going through.
Yeah. Hey, Randall, can we pause right there? We got to go to a break, and I am selfishly wanting to hear a little tractor.
Hey,
friends, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is a little from Slugs and Bugs.
Tractor, harvesting the wheat. Tractor, harvesting the wheat. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Hey, friends, I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Connecting Faith. I'm tempted to just let Slugs and Bugs roll so that you will sing the Bible with us. But I have with me Randall Goodyame from Slugs and Bugs. Randall, thank you again for joining us today on Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Carmen. It is great to be here with you.
It's so fun to not only listen to the songs that are expressly scriptural, but obviously as we went to the break, we played a little tractor. And it's fun to sing songs that are positive and good that are not necessarily directly drawn from the Bible. So talk with us about silly songs.
Okay, well, I'm so glad you asked, because it is also a really bedrock principle for me for what I want to do with families. And really, it's because everything that happens in the life of a believer, all of it, it belongs to the Lord. You know, I talk about this at my concerts, but whether we're taking out the trash or we're doing dishes or praying before a meal or singing in the choir, all the stuff, the secular and the sacred, all of it belongs to the Lord. And since we are in the we're in the realm of kids with slugs and bugs, that's where they live. Kids live in the silly space. That is, like, their native tongue is silliness. So, and when I think about what's important about silliness for parents, I think about the passage from Luke 18, which says, "You essentially, unless you come to Jesus like a child, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven." And that's, if you think of it, that's a really serious. That's really serious. If you don't come like a child, you can't come. And so, one way for us as parents to remember what it's like to be a child is to be silly. And let our kids lead us in that. They are our models, if we think of it in that way, as to who we need to be in order to come to the Lord. We need to be messy. We need to be needy. We need to be expectant that He's going to provide. All these things that make kids kids. That's how the Lord needs us to be as we come to Him. So for me to have a song like about tractors or about ninjas or about trying not to get eaten by a bear, all those songs help parents get in touch, I feel like, with the fact that they are kids too. They're His kids.
Yeah, that bear can't hold that cup. He can't hold that cup in his paws. I know.
That's right.
Just bless him, man. He just can't do it. Hey, friends, my conversation is with Randall Goodgame. You can check out what we're talking about by visiting slugsandbugs.com. Randall, I've got this question from a listener. I would love to hear about the live events. There's one next Tuesday. I'm thinking about going, but I need to know that there won't be an expectation that my children will sit quietly. Randall, tell us, are wiggly kids welcome at Slugs and Bugs live events?
Yes, absolutely. Bring your wiggly kids and bring your wiggly parents, because we stand up and we wave our hands around and we jump out in the aisles. And some concerts I'll get a bunch of parents up on the stage, kids up on the stage. There's always a murmur of noise in Slugs and Bugs concerts, and that I'm quite fine with that. So please come.
And they can check out the live events also at slugsandbugs.com, am I right?
That's right. Yeah, we have a tour schedule there. I think this coming Tuesday it's in Nashville, and then next Friday, a week from today, we're in North Carolina. We do concerts all year long, all over the country, in and out of the country.
Oh, I love that. All right, so here's another comment from a listener. I think, again, you will simply receive this as encouragement. She says, I don't really have a question, but tell him I give a copy of the original album as part of my standard baby shower gift, because I think every family needs Slugs and Bugs. There are lullabies on it that I still sing most nights to my girls.
Oh, tell her thank you.
Or I know, isn't that so fun?
So much.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm getting more listener interaction with you than I do with like members of Congress. Just to let you know. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'll take it.
Yeah. Tell us what on the new Slugs and Bugs album. What do you have a favorite?
Oh wow. Well, you know what? It's hard to have a favorite. Now I can tell you, there's a couple that my kids are singing on, which that sort of can make a favorite out of them for me. My son Ben sings For God So Loved the World. But it's really hard. They all move me in different ways. That we have a couple special guests that have been really fun to include. There's a hip-hop guy out of L.A. named Propaganda that is just brilliant on Get Up, which is the story from the man at the Pool of Siloam. And then a couple other tracks. One of my all-time favorite artists that your listeners probably know, Sarah Groves, she joins me on the very first song, which is the long passage from Colossians that begins with, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. By Him all things are created, and all that. And Bart Millard, who – now, this is maybe one of my very top three favorites on the record. Your listeners probably know Bart as the subject of the big movie that was just out. I Can Only Imagine. He's the lead singer for Mercy Me. And he sings a song on this record that just his voice blows my mind on it. It's the passage, man shall not live by bread alone, from Matthew, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I don't know how familiar you are with the record yet, but it is, he sings all the parts. It's an a cappella song. He sings all four parts. And it is a wonder. His voice is a wonder to behold.
I love that. All right, friends. So the project is the latest from Slugs and Bugs. You can actually go to slugsandbugs.com and check out all of the ministry resources. I say ministry resources because that's the way I feel about it. It's to be used maybe in the context of your family and your car, but they really are ministry resources. And they're great gifts to give to people who have little kids. I also find, Randall, that it's an easy way to share something useful with a family that may not be believers. But, you know, music has a powerful way of finding its way into the heart and mind, and then opening doors for conversation that may not otherwise, you know, be easily accessible to us. And then I wanted to also share with you that this 12 and 14-year-old who to whom I have referred, who, you know, they think they're too old maybe, right, for this music. But here's the reality. Now that they have these younger people in their lives, in this case, a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, who now love Slugs and Bugs, it gives a new excuse to the 12-year-old and the 14-year-old to sing the songs again. Right. It's like made it cool because they're now right. They're now teaching and leading and participating and being silly. And, you know, because you're not too cool to do it when you're doing it with a 3-year-old. And so, you know, I still want to encourage you in that as well. Like it's a great tool to put in the hands of a teenager who's going to go do some babysitting this summer or have some responsibility for some younger kids. If we would equip them with this kind of material, we sort of allow them to be kids again, but we also give them something really positive and useful to use with younger children.
Oh, I love that. Yes, thank you. And, you know, as my kids have gotten older, the music has matured as well. So I'd say it's stretched out of the, you know, 3 to 5-year-old range up into the, you know, 10 to 12-year-old range. So I'll but you're right. My daughter will take it with her when she goes and babysits. She's 17. And she's very proud to play it for her kids and watch them sing along. She'll come home and tell me stories about the songs they were singing. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I just love it. All right, friends, slugsandbugs.com. If you want to, you can call me here at 877-93-FAITH, or you can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. We've got 2 copies of the CDs to give away. I will tell you, we've already had a bunch of callers, but that doesn't mean we won't throw your name into the hat at this point as well. So you can call me at 877-93-FAITH. You can email me at carmen@myfaithradio.com. Get in the drawing for today's CDs. You can also go to slugsandbugs.com and get them all, right? So that's your easy access point. Randall Goodgame, thank you so much for the ministry that you have provided to us in so many ways over the years. Silly songs from another context are still some of our favorites in our family. We still sing a lot of silly songs that you wrote and that you sang. And we love the Slugs and Bugs. The whole array of the ministry. So you may have some of my family members in the crowd at the live event on Tuesday. And just thank you so much for what you're doing and the gift this is to every family, you know, we need these kinds of tools and resources, and you are graciously providing them to us. And for that, we're very grateful.
Thank you, Carmen. This has been such a pleasure. I appreciate you and all that you do to shine the light of the gospel out here in Radio Land. So thank you for having me.
Thanks, Randall. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
All right, friends. I got to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to make the connecting point, and we're going to make a Mother's Day connecting point. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Connecting Faith. We'll be right back.
Sat down, His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth up on the mountain, and when he sat down.
Hey friends, this is Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Connecting Faith. We just couldn't resist having a little bit more fun on this Friday afternoon with Slugs and Bugs. So if you're not already singing the Bible, I encourage you to do so. You know, it's a biblical mandate that we would actually sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms, songs to one another, that we would do so as encouragement. I mean, that's actually, you know, one of the things that we're encouraged to do in order that we could build one another up as a means of teaching the faith one to another. And so, you know, we're grateful that there are ministries out there that are helping us turn the Bible into songs that we can then use with our kids to actually pass the faith along generation to generation. I think when I think about Mother's Day, that's probably the greatest legacy any mom could ever have. It's one thing to give physical birth. It's another thing to lead another person to the point of spiritual rebirth and to walk with somebody on the journey of faith along the way of salvation. And so let me encourage everyone today, as you are thinking about Mother's Day, maybe in addition to thinking about, you know, your physical mom and all of the women who have helped to raise you, maybe you could also think about some women who encourage you spiritually. Maybe there are women authors, or maybe there are women in ministry leadership at church or in your small group or in your community. And you say to yourself, you know what? That is a woman who God has used to help me make progress in my walk of faith. And I would encourage you I'm not saying send them something for Mother's Day. I'm saying send them a message. I mean, you can use social media, you could use their ministry website, you could call the church office. There's all kinds of easy ways to do this. To just let people know that as a woman, God has used that person in an important way in your life. So I think that it's important to pause as we think about Mother's Day and consider not only our moms, our mothers, and the spiritual moms. But I don't want us to miss just how complicated and painful Mother's Day can be for some women. And so this is going to be one of those conversations where you're going to be like, wow, man, that is a Debbie Downer. So let me just have the really quick, make my Debbie Downer litany, and then we're going to move on to the joy of it all. And here's the reason I want to do this. I'm really aware of a lot of women in my own spheres of influence for whom Mother's Day is complicated and painful. I have friends longing for motherhood, people who are physically barren. Certainly spiritually blessed, but they are not people who are ever going to have babies. They're never going to be mothers in that particular sense of the word. I have people who long for motherhood and who, because they're not married and they're Christians and they're getting older, they absolutely perceive that to be something that is going to be an unmet desire in their life. I've got women in my life who now regret the decision that they made to abort a child in the past. Mother's Day is particularly painful for them. I have women in my spheres of influence whose children now live in the custody of others, and they will be on Mother's Day without their children. Those whose decision to have a child who was conceived out of wedlock are often treated as second-class moms by the church, and Mother's Day can be painful for them as well. And then there are those moms who've been rejected by their kids, and so they're estranged from their children, and Mother's Day is hard for them. There's those on Mother's Day who are going to actually go and visit the grave of their child. Mother's Day is hard for them. There's those whose children are living as prodigals, and there are those who, women like me, who, you know, we're raising other women's children as if they were our own, but nonetheless, we're not their moms. And so Mother's Day is really complicated. So I want us to know that as we go into church this weekend and the reality that Mother's Day is far more complicated for far more women and far more families than we tend to think about. If we have had the privilege of being raised by our own biological mom and she's still living and we're still in a wonderful relationship with her and we're all Christians and there's never been any brokenness between us, that's just not the reality for most families, which means it's not the reality for most moms. Now, I also want to then acknowledge that we're going to hold our moms in high esteem and great honor on this Mother's Day. I am certainly going to honor my mom on this Mother's Day. And not everyone is blessed to have a mom like I have. I want to thank God for the blessing of my mother. And I want to thank God for the blessing of her health, even at 80 years old. And I want to thank God for the joy that she brings me every day. I turn to Proverbs. I turn to Proverbs 31. Maybe that won't surprise you, in terms of how I might choose to celebrate my mom. And so when we think about Proverbs 31, we think about the woman who is described there. I can actually see a lot of my mom lived out Psalm 31 must be really good because God keeps bringing it to mind. But I'm supposed to be talking about Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 woman is the one we want to be talking about right now, Carmen. Let's see if you can get that into your into the parlance of this conversation. So in Proverbs 31, if we were to, let's say, I don't know, where should we pick up? Let's pick up at like verse 26. And if we pick up at Proverbs 31, 26, then we're going to find a woman who is opening her mouth in wisdom. She's teaching kindness from her tongue. And if I were going to then, you know, think about the strength and dignity of my mom and a mom who smiles at the future and opens her mouth in wisdom and teaches me with kindness, you know, I'm thinking about a mom who can very much be celebrated. And so when I think about those verses, 25 and 26 in particular, my mom happens to be a person of strength and dignity. She carries herself with a lot of dignity. She is also a person who smiles at the future, as described here. In fact, one of my mom's, we call them Ruth Ann-isms because her name's Ruth Ann. One of the Ruth Ann-isms is look back but don't stare because you can't land on the runway behind you. So let's think about that for a minute. We talk about a person who is smiling toward the future. She's smiling at the future. She's welcoming the future filled with hope that God has planned. She's going to walk into it with courage and confidence, not in herself so much as in confidence in God to be faithful to himself and to his promises. And so maybe when you think about a verse like this, how is it that your mom has smiled at the future because of you or with you? And how is it that your mom has opened her mouth in wisdom? How is it that she has taught you in kindness? And then, of course, as we look forward to like verse 27, where it talks about taking care of her household and not eating the bread of idleness. I don't know about you, but my mom's example of diligence and my mom's example of a person who labored every single day for the benefit of our family, you know, I look at that and I feel blessed. I feel blessed to have my mom's example in making me to not only want to be a really good wife and mother in my own household, but diligent in my labor, that I would not be a person who would be idle. I'm blessed with busyness, and I would say that I am a person who prefers busyness to boredom, and I probably get that from my mom. Now, when you think about what you're going to give your mom for Mother's Day, I would encourage you to spend a little time in Proverbs 31 and say to yourself, you know, how is it that, you know, is there a verse in here that really, you know, sort of speaks to who my mom is or speaks to how my mom raised me? There are all kinds of verses in the 31st chapter of Proverbs that you could just take one and you could give it as a gift back to your mom. And you could say, Mom, you know, God gave me the gift of this word and he gave me the gift of you. And I see you. I experienced you in this way. And so maybe it's verse 31. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. If you think about who you are as a child of your mother, then you are in no small measure the product of her hands. You are in no small way a work of her life. And if you would praise her in the gates on this Mother's Day, then you would be paying forward, in a sense, the lifetime investment that she has made in you. And so that might be my encouragement to you this day in terms of what you're going to give your mom for Mother's Day. Why don't you find a verse of scripture or a woman in the Bible who your mom really reflects and gives a physical story to in this generation, not just a story from the pages of scripture, but a living testimony, a living testament to the goodness, truth, and beauty of who God is. And so let me give you one more Ruth Ann-ism before we go today. And that is this. I can remember on many occasions as I would be walking out the back door of the house on Roxmere Road in Tampa, Florida. I can hear my mom saying as I left, don't forget, you may be the only Bible someone else reads today. Now, I got to tell you, if you walk out the door being sent like that into the world, you think about what you're thinking about. You think about what you say. You think about how you are or are not accurately representing God in the world. And so I'm wondering, as we send our kids out the door, as we let them out of the car, are we reminding them that they now are the sent people of God and that the world is going to decide whether or not God is credible by looking at his people. And so I want to thank my mom for what I call one of these Ruth Ann-isms, that I may, in fact, be the only Bible somebody else is reading today. And I certainly hope that by reading me, they are getting an authentic testimony to the character and the goodness of who God is, that they are experiencing grace and truth in the same way Jesus walked it out in the world. And so that's my encouragement to you on this Mother's Day weekend. Indeed, this would be my mom's word to me and therefore my word to you. You may be the only Bible someone else reads today. What are they going to get by being with you, by experiencing you? All right, friends, we'd love it if you would visit us online at myfaithradio.com. Connecting Faith has a page on the myfaithradio.com website. And if you go there, you know, the past shows are posted. You can sign up for the podcast. There are all kinds of downloadable ministry resources. There's a place where you can communicate with us that you're in need of prayer and how we can be praying for you. You can also do that by calling the studio line at 877-93-FAITH. You can always leave us a message if you have a particular prayer concern, if you have a way that we can be praying for you. I can tell you that as a Faith Radio ministry team, we pray for our listeners every Thursday when we get together. And so please let us know how we can be praying for you. We consider this a community, not just a one-way conversation. So let us hear from you. All right, friends, I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Connecting Faith. Have a great weekend, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Connecting Faith. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Connecting Faith. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a conversation.